You are listening to A Psychic Story, a podcast that shares behind-the-scenes insights of people who lead supernatural lives among the ordinary. And I'm your host, Nicole Bigley. Join me every Wednesday as I dispel the myths behind magic and lore. Welcome to A Psychic Story. Mysticism Demystified. Hi, psychic listeners. Welcome to another episode of A Psychic Story. And I have a very, very special guest who's near and dear to my heart on this episode. Her name is Tashi Cooper, and she's the owner of Infinite Healing Holistic Mobile Spa, a book author, and much, much more. And I just want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Well, the reason why I'm so excited, and I say that obviously for every guest, I'm very excited. But ultimately, Tashi was someone who I met right when I started my, I would say like the second level of my spiritual journey when I was getting my Reiki certification, when I became a Reiki master, and she worked on me and healed me and had done several things. And so we have a personal connection, a spiritual connection, and I very much respect her as well. And so that's why I'm just so thrilled that you're here to talk about your story and your life and everything that brought you here today.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here as well. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and just dive in. Like, I know in reading about your past, and you started out more in like the financial and account management world. Is that correct? And then after a few years, you were like, wait, this is not me. And you then went into the metaphysical. So walk us through like how you even just got started into the whole holistic wellness space.
Well, I would say being my mother's daughter, being Mui Kali Hayes' daughter, my mother, as she transitioned from Fire and Brimstone Baptist to approaching life and her relationship with God from a spiritual perspective, I was a little girl. And so I went along that journey with her. And so I would say really from age 11 is when it started. And I would kind of listen in on her conversations with her friends. Mm-hmm. And sometimes she would have conversations with me on different metaphysical concepts, and she was talking about different dimensions and spirit guides and angels, and I resonated with it. And I was just, and then she would get readings, and I used to like listening to her readings. And one time she treated me to one. It was a psychic by the name of Dorothy. We were living in Southern California at the time, but Dorothy didn't live there. So when she would come to town, my mom and her friends would get on her schedule. And my mom surprised me. And it was a big deal because my mom didn't have a lot of money. And a reading with Dorothy was $150. And that was
back then, that's a lot. I mean, it's a lot
90s.
Now. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And so I was just so thrilled. And I went along. My mother didn't come with me. And Dorothy, she shared with me that I had a lot of psychic. She said I was very psychic and I had a lot of psychic energy around me, but I feared it. And I totally understood what she meant. And then she also stated that I had healing energy pouring through me and that she saw where I could heal people by laying my hands on them and at a distance. And so that's when I first heard about that whole concept.
Ooh, that just gave me huge chills. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So that's where it all started. And then I would say, my journey through college and then to New York and corporate America, I was just on my own searching and researching and getting into energy and what do you call it? Chakras and auras and the health of my chakras and my aura. And then my mom, big reader. Always gifting books to people, always reading. And she had just a plethora of books. And I went, she was living in DC at the time, me in New York, and I visited her. And there was these two books on her bookshelf that captured my attention. And one was about laying your hands on folks and healing them. And the other one was about Reiki. And I was like, oh, I want to do this. It totally resonated with me. Like, mm-hmm. I really, 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 really wanted to do it. And so But I didn't think that at the time I could attract a clientele and say, yeah, I can heal you by laying hands on you. So then I thought, I'm gonna go to massage therapy school. Had never received a massage, but my mom used to get them all the time. And it was the best decision I ever made in my life. I went to the Swedish Institute, and there I received education in both Western and Eastern philosophies and modalities. And it just opened me up in so many ways. And then that was in 2000. And then in 2006, when I met you, I got attuned in Reiki. And finally, I said, well, I'm going to supplement my massage practice with Reiki, you know?
And you can do both. You can get massage with Reiki, which is like the best. If no one's ever had that done, it's like the best massage and energy work as a whole.
Yes, the best. And so my mom had gifted me a tarot deck somewhere between 2000 and 2006. She attuned me in Reiki. She gave us a simple exercise to listen to our guides and our clients' guides. And I guess I took it to another level because I found myself doing Reiki on folks, and then also providing them with pages of messages that I received. And that's how it started. And so I started saying I give Reiki readings, and people say, oh yeah, I get messages from my Reiki practitioner. But then when they got it from me, it was like, I gave them a whole reading. Like it's interesting. I just kind of opened myself up and I just listened to the messages that come to me and I just write it down.
It's interesting you say that, because I guess it's just been a while. I mean, I get readings occasionally too, only because we're in the line of work. And so people are like, I have a message for you, or sometimes you just want to have one. But a lot of people have said to me that the readings that I give are different than any other kind of practitioner. And I guess what you're getting at too is almost the same thing. And I never really correlated maybe the Reiki ship to the readings and how maybe we do it differently.
Like for me, it's being open to my guides and their guides. Mm-hmm. Like I do a lot of distant Reiki work. And as soon as I find myself in the person's space, I acknowledge the guides that are there. I can feel them and or see them. And so it's always my prayer that they help me and provide the messages, and that my guides help me to interpret it so that I can speak it from a way that the person can understand. Because a lot of times I get feelings and sensations, but I feel like my guides are the ones that say, okay, say it with this string of words.
Right. Yes. I do think that what happens, at least for me, and sounds like it's the same with you, is I also want it to be as raw as possible and not have an interpretation from my lens, which is why I rely very heavily on my guides and angels as well, is because exactly what you think. Like sometimes, like, you know, just seeing sunflowers or seeing something, like you may think sunflowers mean something to you, but to that other person, it may be entirely different. So to share exactly the way your guides or their guides and angels are helping you express it is different than if, as a human being, you would be interpreting it, right?
Right. Right. It's a beautiful, a beautiful experience. I just thought of a scenario where an ancestor had said they did a gesture with their face and they said, oh, baby. And it was the way he tilted his head. I explained what I saw. And she was like, oh, that was my uncle. Like, like whatever he did. And I explained it in a way that she received chills. I just got chills myself.
Right.
But yeah, I feel like the Reiki does definitely helps. And so I use Reiki also to do chakra readings.
What do those look like? So for somebody who may not have had a chakra reading, how do you go about that?
Right. So whether I'm in front of you in person or at a distance, I'm using a pendulum. And the pendulum, ideally, you want it to go in a clockwise direction, right? Above, if you are living above the equator. And for a healthy shopper or counterclockwise below the equator? Well, the pendulum will either go in a circle, it'll go diagonal, it'll go horizontal, vertical, and there's different meanings. And so what I do, I know Hands of Light, Barbara Brennan, Hands of Light, the book. That's where I learned, I ever heard of what a pendulum was. And she had a chart on how to read the chakras and the swings of the pendulum. And then I just kind of took it to another level and created my own chart. But it's similar to hers, but I use different language and it resonates with me and my clients. So basically, what I do is I just tell the pendulum with Reiki using the distance symbol, show me the root chakra for so-and-so, or show me the anterior heart chakra for so-and-so, and it'll just start swinging. And so what I do is I draw the swing. And when I do this, I'm not on the phone with the person. We're not connected virtually. I call them about 5 minutes before the appointment, and then just to make sure that they're alone and they won't be disturbed and they can relax. And then we hang up and I do all of this. I do the reading. Then I call them back and tell them what the reading is. Now, the cool thing is about, so that's just me using the pendulum and assessing their aura, because the chakras fuel the aura. Okay. They're like the energetic organs that fuel the aura, like our physical organs fuel our bodies. Yeah. And so when a person receives a chakra reading with the chakra balance, it's almost like they get a double reading, because I give them the chakra reading from what the pendulum says. But then as I'm balancing each chakra, the chakras start talking to me and I receive more messages. And so that's pretty interesting. Yeah.
That's cool. So give me an example of like what kind of message you would get from a chakra. Like, do they have different personalities, or is it more like when you look at somebody's physical body and you can kind of just feel, I'm going to use the heart as an example. Like if you're doing Reiki, like you may feel heaviness over the heart, and that could be physical, or that could also be part of the heart chakra. And that heaviness is like that. How does it speak to you? Like, what does a message from a chakra look like?
Sometimes it can be, I know I've said things where people, they give of themselves, but they don't give enough to themselves or receive for themselves or create opportunities to receive. And so that can be a message that I will receive, to create opportunities. And I've also gotten messages where people from the heart, they show their cards too fast. They show everything.
They're so open.
And then unfortunately they get hurt. And so this is probably the reason why they're getting hurt. And it's always connected to that sacral chakra with setting boundaries.
Ah, okay. Beautiful, beautiful. I want to go back a moment.
Yes.
Because you sped through, which is great, but about your corporate experience, because obviously like when you said your mom was a huge influence in your life growing up, and also how, you know, she influenced not just what you read, but how open you were to the metaphysical and the spiritual. What were you experiencing in the corporate world that then just made you say, hey, this isn't for me, and I want to take that leap of faith and trust in the universe to do the metaphysical and the holistic full time?
Yes.
Do you think a lot of people are struggling with that, you know, right now, especially?
Yes. I don't know. I chose me. I don't know which way to say it. And it was such an awesome experience. Out of 800 candidates, I was one of 7 selected for a program to work at Merrill Lynch. And it was so profound and so rewarding, but at the same time, not rewarding. It was rewarding from how it sounded. I was able to go to the London office and work on one of the first major IPOs in London. I'm at the Merrill Lynch office. And then I was the first two of my siblings, I think, to travel to Paris. And I don't know, just to live in a place for a whole month. It was a big deal back then. So it felt good from that perspective, but it wasn't feeding me and I needed to be fed. And so I found myself in meetings a lot So we were having meetings.
A lot. Yeah.
Yes.
I feel you.
It was just all these meetings. So we're having a meeting for the 3 o'clock meeting to touch upon the 5 o'clock meeting to get ready for the 7:30 meeting. And I just felt like things weren't, where am I making a difference? And so when I finish laying hands on someone, whether it's through Reiki or massage therapy, I see it. I can see the difference. I can see the, weariness or tiredness or stress on a person's body. And then just it release once they get off the table.
Yeah. Well, I want to say, well, your guides and angels, I know you know this, but just I'm reiterating it, is that they're very proud that you took that step so soon, so soon in your life and recognized, and you said the feeding the soul. I think that's a huge important piece because there's the external factors of all the things in life that we think are going to make us happy, right? Or fulfill us. And in some cases, there's nothing wrong if that fulfills you and makes you happy. But in a lot of cases, it's not. And we wonder, okay, what's the next thing? What's the more? What am I missing? Why am I not happy? And it's because we haven't gone within or we haven't listened to ourselves and had that courage to kind of just step out there and own it, right? I think the biggest thing, and I've said this before on the show, the reason why I wanted to have people like you on and share that is because someone somewhere somehow is going through a very similar experience. And in some cases just needs to hear that, you know, somebody else paved the path or had those experiences so that they can relate. So just want to say thank you for sharing that. I think it's very beautiful.
Thank you. And then that I think about it, I think one of my brothers had traveled for work as well. So maybe not the first, but it was something huge in my family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it's a big deal. When you're able to accomplish anything as far as what society deems like college and a career and then being successful on top of it. And then wondering also, I went through a moment where I was like, why am I not as happy or as thrilled about everything else? Why am I want to use the word miserable, but at one point I was kind of miserable about it. And then I realized it's because I wasn't being true to myself and looking at what that could be. I do want to also go back to, okay, so for people that haven't, one, some people that listen to the show or a lot of people do have had Reiki. Some actually are in the process of looking into and getting their Reiki certifications and all of that, which I think is fantastic. I do feel from my soul, obviously you and I both do, that it was such an instrumental tool, spiritual tool that helped catapult me into that next level. So if you are interested then and your gut saying it, then go for it. But what was that like? So when you went to your Reiki master and learned, for people that haven't or are interested, what was that like?
Oh my God. It was phenomenal. It was so phenomenal. She's such a sweet spirit. And like I said, she taught that exercise to help hone in on my innate intuition and then to just lay hands on someone and feel the different sensations and just be privy to their feedback as well. I think to really understand that as a Reiki practitioner, you are truly a vessel that the energy is flowing through was also just a really precious moment. I can't explain it. I know I was so elated and high and excited about it. I remember I was laying hands on, well, a classmate. I was laying hands on a classmate, I should say. And she also felt her guides or maybe my guides laying hands in a different area. So it was just really being open to the experience that it goes beyond us, like tangible. And
I'm a huge believer, obviously, in the universe and how the synchronicities like line us up together. And right before this, like yesterday and even this morning, I had some videos and some content fed to me. And I think it's very relevant. So I'm going to share it. So bear with me. One of the things that this person was talking about is we're spiritual beings. And I think I've said this several times on the show, and we're having a human experience. But what happened is we all made the decision as a higher consciousness, as a consciousness being, to come in here into this world onto earth in this dimension and have a physical experience so that we can feel the emotion, we can feel and have those physical experiences. And that gives us that spiritual growth and journey. And to me, and I can't speak for you, but when I had my Reiki certification, I feel like the reason why we had that high and how we really connected was it's almost like we were being reconnected to source and being aligned with our spiritual consciousness. Whereas when we're first born, like we forget it and we, you know, we're in programs, we're in this like matrix of things. And so that reconnection and that being reunited kind of catapults us to that, I don't want to say level because it's not about up and down, but it's more like that vibrational level of where we needed to be and gets us there. And to me, that's, I guess, the clearest way that I could probably explain it is that when you go through it, and everybody has healing energy, healing abilities.
Yes.
I just think that the Reiki aspect of it, the laying on of hands, allows you to get back on that resonance and that vibrational level of where maybe you have forgotten or you got a little bit off track. I personally, that's what I think.
Okay. I resonate with what you just said. I definitely resonate with what you just said. I was, before I did the Reiki, I was using golden light to scan through my body and other people's bodies. And I was connecting with people and myself on a certain level.
Right.
But I feel like the Reiki, one, I learned to get permission.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It's like, it's a process, right?
I learned to get permission from others, but I definitely feel like some of my meditations, sometimes when I use the Reiki, have allowed me to go deeper and I guess to connect to source more. But also from my mother, even before Reiki, I experienced energy in different ways through meditation as well. But that experience with Reiki, it definitely just had me on a high because it opened me up onto the breadth of the work. Like I literally within 2 weeks used Reiki to heal my truck. I never thought to do that. Was only for human beings, you know? So yeah, I definitely resonate with what you said. And I feel like it definitely heightened me.
Yeah, it was huge because it's hard to explain. So I guess that's why I'm trying to dive in a little bit deeper. It's not that we're not connected to source and it's not that we don't also, like you were talking about using the golden ray of light and other things. Like it's not that you haven't been or we hadn't been healing before. It's just, it's opening a door.
Yes.
It's almost like to me, blowing the door off the hinges essentially is what it was for me. Because I remember sitting after I gotten my Reiki and I didn't even tell my boyfriend. This is how much in the closet I was. I didn't even tell my boyfriend who I've been dating for a year at the time that I got my Reiki because he was in the medical field. And I was like, he's going to think I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And I was sitting on the other side of the couch and he was on the other side. And then he's like, you're burning up. I can feel you all the way from over here. Do you have a fever? And I could feel it. It was like I had hot flashes all over. And I'm like, he can't feel it. This is just me. This is in my mind. This is whatever. When he said that, I was like, okay, I'm not making this up. And he had no idea that I had done that before earlier in the day.
Wow. I love it. Like in today's age, a lot of people, like I find myself reteaching people Reiki. So I do, I teach as a continuing ed instructor for massage therapists, but just people interested in Reiki as well. And I'm finding that people are taking these online courses and I just really don't believe, granted you can do Reiki at a distance, but I don't feel like you should get a attunement at a distance. I feel like there's a sacredness in having it passed from the master to the student in person. And so that I would encourage people, if you are interested in becoming a practitioner and or master, to do your research on the master and consider getting attuned in person and learning with that person in person.
I'm really glad you said that because I have a friend of mine, and I know she will not mind me sharing this. I worked with her in corporate America and I had no idea. Like, I knew I loved her, her energy, everything else, but we always talked work. We didn't talk about wookie wookie or the spiritual aspect of things.
Yeah.
And she mentioned at some point when we were catching up after, you know, COVID and the whole thing, she's like, I got my master, my Reiki certification. She's like, I forgot you were a Reiki master too. She said, I don't really feel like I got my attunement fully. And she had done it online. And the first thing I had downloaded, I was like, you know what? You already went through this. You did all that. Why don't you come over to my house and I will see. And I, sure enough, I just did it all over my hands. You know, I wouldn't do this for anybody, obviously, but she and I were close and I did it. And within that, she's like, I felt it. And I got the same message you did, is that it's not that there's anything wrong with doing it virtually, but there is a sacredness. I remember our teacher told us that it's sacred. Like, not only do you share the energy with your teacher, you also share that energy with your classmates and the other people that you were working on, because it's an exchange of energy that mm-hmm. you are learning that's from the higher source. It's really just, I guess, reconnecting you to
yes.
your soul being and the beingness that's all of us. And that there is something that's to be said to be doing it in person if you can.
Yes. Yes.
We'll have to think of a way. Maybe there's a way that we can, like, you know, do online classes, but then yet still meet up in person somehow for people that might want to learn across the world. Like, I think there's a hybrid model, you know what I mean?
Yes. And I'm open to that because a lot of my course is PowerPoint. Like, there's always lecture in the beginning and then in the afternoon there's hands-on. But I feel like in addition to the lecture and the attunement, you need that hands-on, you need that practice. You want to get that feedback from your classmates or your right. instructor if it's a one-on-one. So
yeah, exactly. So let's get back to it. So I want to also get into, well, we've been talking about a lot. There's a lot of directions we can go in this and I'm loving it. But for people that are listening, I'm being led to ask you this question. What was it like when you did your first, like you mentioned, like your classmate and you were healing them and working on them and you were getting messages from your guides and angels. But what was mm-hmm. the progression of Reiki and that healing energy over, like, after you got it done in your attunement over the last few days? What did you experience?
The last few days?
Like the few days after you got your Reiki attunement, like what were the types of things that you experienced either energetically or spiritually, like you yourself? Did you see spirits? Did you see sparkles? Did you have physical changes? What was your personal experience from that?
Honestly, I do not remember.
Okay. That's fine.
I don't remember. I know that I had been seeing sparklies before. If anything, maybe feeling more warmth. Let me tune in. Give me one mm-hmm. second. Let me tune in. Okay. Thank you so much. Okay.
You're welcome. I was like, they told me to ask her, so I'm gonna ask her. So
yes,
it's
thank you so much. And I'm thanking you, but I'm also thanking the entity. So I remember I was living in Atlanta, okay? And I remember the apartment I was living in and the essence of my great-grandfather started to come through, okay? And they called him Moses. Okay, I'm tearing. I'm sorry.
don't apologize. This is yes. powerful stuff. So take
yes,
a moment.
Yes, and I remember him having a hat and I remember, oh my goodness. like feeling like a swoosh of air and, thinking and knowing that it was him. And then since then acknowledging him, and I even acknowledged him in, a novel that I wrote. He was psychic and people would come to him. He used the Bible. He used, I think, a key.
Hmm.
He would run the key along the pages of the Bible. And then wherever he was led to stop, he'd open it up and he'd read whatever was his eyes
oh,
laid
that's
on
amazing.
First. And he was always spot on. And they called him Moses. And I think of him, he's actually on my altar now. I want to create a formal altar. I haven't created one in this home. But I have him there. and he's with me and I know he's proud of me. And that, I remember that. Oh my goodness. I remember that. I totally remember. And the reason why it's so interesting is because that weekend that I got attuned was also the weekend that we laid one of my mother's siblings down in California. And then I was able to make it back catching red eye in time to get attuned. It was spirit wanted me to get attuned. And then so when that spirit came to visit me and he just walked through my bedroom, he didn't talk, but I knew it was him. It was just a moment during my meditation and I knew it wasn't my Uncle James. I knew it was him. And he and I have this, it's funny because I know people can't see me, but I have this crinkly thing on my chin when I close my mouth. Mm-hmm. That crinkle.
Yeah, I see it. Yeah.
And growing up, it used to like annoy me. So whenever I'd be talking to a guy, I kind of like have my mouth open so it wouldn't crinkle. Like, you know, so yeah. It'd be smooth. But then when I really looked at his picture and I saw it, I was like, oh my God, I embraced the crinkle. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, that's my connection with my, I feel like that's the, a mark of my psychic abilities passed down from him. So
what a wonderful gift.
Thank
yeah,
you.
They were. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. They were like, you need to ask her. So I was scared there for a moment. I was like, wait a second.
Yeah, because I couldn't remember anything. Yeah. But then like, wow, thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you. So what are you feeling while you're connected? What are your guides and angels saying for you? Like, what's next? Where do you want to go? Because you've done a lot. You've accomplished a lot during your spiritual, you know, life, your career. And I know obviously part of your path is to help others. But what do you want to accomplish next? Or, you know, what are you going to be doing?
Yes. So for me, it's being true to mine own self in all ways. And everything that I will be doing will be from my platform as opposed to someone else's. So everything will 100% come from me as opposed to me working for another company. And allowing myself to be open and led 100% by spirit and not by always what I see or what people are suggesting that I do, but it's definitely coming 100% from me and believing that I can create that reality 100%. In the past, always had something on the side to rely upon, if that makes sense. But everything will be total reliance upon myself, which is, and when I say myself, I'm including my higher self, my paving this path 100%.
Powerful. It's empowering because just like you said, you're not relying on external situations, people, other energy.
Right.
You're relying on yourself, knowing that you're connected to your higher self and to the collective consciousness that we're all ultimately connected to, right?
Yes.
The universe is like limitless in what
yes.
it can offer. And we put limits on it by and on ourselves by looking to the external.
Yes. And I know I need other people to produce everything, but I just won't be working as an employee to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are some of the myths and misconceptions that you experienced was a myth and misconception and you were able to kind of break through that, or things that other people may be experiencing? So do you find, again, that's one of the other reasons I have the show, is there's so much out there that people think that, you know, is the reality and it's not. And so I want to break down those barriers and that those misconceptions. Is there anything that you can think of that you learned along the way during your spiritual path?
I would say a myth, even in what I'm doing right now, the people don't think that the distant Reiki work works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I feel like I have been somewhat breaking down that myth in a sense. With COVID, I have assisted some friends, family members with overcoming the virus, and they wouldn't have never come to me. I had I've gone to them and offered it to them. And because of the the severity of the illness and not being able to breathe, they're just like, yes, mm-hmm. you know, but they would never right. have done it before. And then I've helped them overcome it. I'm not saying that I can heal anyone, but in the scenarios, I have definitely over a period of days helped people be able to breathe and get back into life and get over the virus. And I feel like, even if they're totally not a believer, I planted a seed. Mm-hmm. And it may not be a seed that they'll ever want to uncover again for some people, but at least they'll be like, okay, she's not really mm-hmm. that off about who she is and what she talks about. So did I answer your question?
Yeah, yeah. No, I think that that's one of it. It's almost like you think that because we live in this physical reality that everything has to happen in person, in the physical, right? And I do, and I have said this before, that in some ways the pandemic allowed us to reach bounds, or it removed boundaries in ways that we didn't think were possible, which is a good thing. And part of that is the energy work. We're all energy. We just have a physical body. When we die, we transform into our original source and energy. And so that's the same thing with distance. There's no time. There's no time. It's linear. And there's no distance in reality. So when you can wrap your mind around that crazy concept, then of course that long distance healing shouldn't be like the barrier of physical proximity. Although I will say the caveat is, like we said earlier, if you can maybe have that experience in person from a Reiki master when you're in attunement, the experience, I think the thing is, to me, it's the experience physically that you have in that moment solidifies that connection, I guess, because you're like, wow, this is not physical. It's of source and it's a different experience. But other than that, yeah, you answered my question. There's so many different myths and misconceptions out there. That's ultimately what I wanted to see if there was anything else. What are you feeling led to share with listeners that you are either getting downloaded or you just want to share that we haven't had a chance to talk about yet?
To thine own self be true. Just really, if you can walk your path within your own rhythm and allow yourself to feel, and even on this level, fail, like what we would call what failing is, but it's mm-hmm. probably you really winning, allow yourself to really just be true to thine own self as much as possible. That one. Two, if you can receive this, we are around people all the time. Spirits are around us all the time. We're around energy, different types of energy all the time. So I suggest that you find different ways to protect your energy as well as cleanse your energy on a daily basis. Come up with some form of ritual to cleanse your energy. And don't take it in a way where you feel like you have bad energy. It's just mm-hmm. like even just walking outside to put the trash out. You have no idea who just walked down the street right before you and what type of energy that you're walking into or alone. So
it's almost like spiritual hygiene. Think about it this
yes,
way, right? Like
I
would not take a shower. Like maybe I don't take a shower every day. I should, right? But you know, whatever. Or wash my hair every day, that sort of thing. I definitely brush my teeth every day, if not a few times. But we don't think about our spiritual hygiene.
We don't.
Like whether it's meditation or if you are taking a shower, thinking of that energy moving off of you and all of that,
yes.
like the protection. Those are the things, because we're just not as cognizant or as aware of it, that we need to take care of ourselves spiritually.
Right. And just to really go inward and figure out what's your stuff and what's not your stuff. Because some mm-hmm. of the stuff, like...
That's huge.
Just figure out what's your stuff, what's not your stuff. Celebrate the triumphs and release that toxic energy and the toxins just as much as you can, and figure out ways to ground yourself. Like Nicole said that we, and I say it a lot as well, we're spiritual beings having a human experience. And a lot of times in the readings, I see that the people are aligned with their higher self or they're in their head. But we have to remember that we have all these ideas and we can live in this dream world. Because sometimes I love going to sleep. I love experiencing.
It's my favorite thing in the whole world.
Yeah. To go to sleep and see what dreams I'm going to have, right? But we live on this planet called Earth, and we need to ground ourselves in and get in rhythm with its rhythm, you know, so that we can use that higher energy. Not that the Earth is a lower energy, but combine the two energies so that we can just pave our own path. But we have to ground ourselves. So I implore you to ground yourself, get physical, do things with your hands, and move your body.
Paint, dance, cook, something.
Yes. Yeah. Get out of your head. It's so easy to get stuck in your head. So yes, that's what I would add.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And if people want to reach you or get in contact with you, you also have a book too. So lay it all out there for me. So book is your Redemption's Lullaby.
Redemption's Lullaby. You can access everything through my personal website, TashiKDCooper.com. So www.T like Tom, O, S like Sam, H like Harry, I, K, D, Cooper.com. And you'll have access to my online school, the Tashi School of Wellness. I have a mobile spa in Atlanta, Georgia, where we service individuals, couples, and groups via spa parties.
If you're lucky enough to live in Atlanta, which I used to, I still split my time between there and Ohio, but ultimately I highly recommend it.
Thank you.
Get on her calendar and book an appointment.
Yes, we have awesome licensed professional and insured therapists that will come to you. Okay. And that's with Infinite Healing, Holistic Mobile Spa. All of that you can access and purchase my book through the TashiKDCooper.com. I also have, I'm a founder of a women's retreat called My Sacrednessity. And right now it's happening virtually, but you can look forward to that being an in-person retreat as well in the upcoming future.
Yeah, and I saved that on my highlights reel on Instagram too. So your courses, but I'll make sure that when the episode airs, I'll reshare that information too.
Thank you.
So that you can, yeah, absolutely. And of course, her Instagram is at TKDCooper, right? And you're also on, I mean, you're on all the socials, Twitter, Facebook, all that. So we'll have that in the show notes.
Tashi KD Cooper for Facebook as well. Tashi KD Cooper, LinkedIn.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you again so much for being on the show and sharing your story, your experiences, and your love and light. I really appreciate it. And let's not have this long, drawn out time where we haven't talked. Like, let's make sure we get on the books now, whether it's on the show or off the show. But I want to make sure I just been reinvigorated seeing you virtually, but then also talking to you that I miss you and just what we experienced in the beginning. I started my Reiki journey with you.
Yes, because you attuned. It was part of your Reiki mastership, right? Mm-hmm. You attuned us.
Mm-hmm. I know. And it's like so much has happened since then, but yes.
So I'm looking forward to that too. And I want to definitely keep in touch. Yes.
Thank you for listening to A Psychic Story. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode and join the conversation on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. All episodes are free on your favorite podcast player or at apsychicstory.com. Have a question? Is there a topic you'd like to hear more about? Or have a suggestion for a future guest? Send an email to contact@apsychicstory.com or leave a voicemail message at 1-800-880-1881. We'd love to hear from you, and you may even be featured on a future episode. If you're interested in booking a session with me, you can do that directly on the website. And if you want to hear even more content hosted by yours truly, check out my other show, Supernatural Matters. Reminder that you are automatically entered to win either a free 20-minute intuitive or energy healing session with me if you leave 5 stars along with a positive review. Currently, reviews can be left on Apple, Stitcher, Podchaser, or CastBox podcast players. Don't forget to email contact@apsychicstory.com when you do, because it allows me to get in touch with you if your name is pulled in the drawing. Your name stays in until you win.